There you go. So 6:32 p.m. This is a meeting of the Operations Procedure Committee of the City of Derby. It's Thursday, May 26, 2002. Madam Chair?
Yes, thank you. Meeting called to order. You said that. Number two, stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands.
One nation under justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, roll call.
Gatto.
Here.
Mr. Hyder.
Here.
Sharkey.
I think you
have two present, so you have a quorum.
Thank you. Four, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. Any changes? Hearing none, move on to number five, public portion. Anyone from the public wish to speak?
Yes.
Anyone from the public wish? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, Karen Chemises, 25 John Street. It's not specifically on the agenda, but it's because it's not on the agenda that I need to speak. I was hoping that you once again put the department head reports on the Board of Aldermen's monthly meeting. And I don't know where that fits into the request, whether it's your committee or directly the Board of Aldermen or whatever, but I do miss them. I think it's important just to keep an understanding and a continuity of what's going on in the city. If we could have those department reports back on the agenda and reported at each meeting. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Karen. Do we want to add this to the agenda, Rob, or are we just hear it as a public?
I'm going that for the.
Sure. I mean, I don't know. I would ask Mr. Marino if that's something that the Board of Aldermen has control over. Is that something that the mayor's office has already predetermined?
I think, yeah, that's something maybe we can put on, we'll discuss it maybe on the next meeting, just to see that information. I'll try to get more information about that in writing next time.
Okay.
Great. Number six and number seven, approval of the
Anita, can, yes. before yes. public portion is closed, can I speak?
Okay, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Go ahead.
So Sarah Wadomski, 95 Academy Hill Road, president of the Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen. I'll just speak to Karen's comment. Karen, just so you know, the board at the previous full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen meeting did make a motion to have all department head reports included in our packets going forward, as well as posted to the city website for public consumption. As of yet, this board has not received any department head reports from the mayor's office. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you.
Anyone else from the public wish to speak? Anyone else from the public wish to speak? Okay, final last time. Anyone else from the public wish to speak? Public portion closed. Number six, approved minutes of February 27th, 2022 meeting. We're going to, we'll table that. Motion to table, Rob?
So moved.
Okay, seven. Approved minutes of March 24th, 2022 meeting minutes. Motion to table. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Okay, so there's two of us that we both voted by just motioning. Very good. Okay, we're on number eight. We asked Dennis, I'm on my phone, so I'm sorry, I don't know if he's on. Dennis, are you there?
He's going to be getting on.
Okay.
I just texted him. I spoke with him earlier today, and he asked me a question if there was a special meeting of the full board, and I said no, because there wasn't. But I did not, in that conversation, I got distracted and I didn't remind him about the meeting tonight. So, but I just called him now and he picked up. I just sent him the,
Thank you.
The link. So perhaps you can proceed to your next items and then when he comes on.
Rob, is that okay to go to number 9 and we'll move, we'll table it until Dennis comes?
Absolutely, yeah. It goes out.
Is that a yes? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Yeah, that's no problem. Sounds good.
Okay. All right, number 9, Human Resource Director Proposed Job Description. Discussion and possible recommendation to the full Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen. I think Walt said he wanted to speak on this. I did review the Human Resource Director job description. It was confusing. Walt, are you there?
I am, yes.
Thank you. Yeah, is the HR resource director, because it sounds like it's management plus, a lot of these actions here are management positions, but is the HR resource director for the employee? Because it's confusing. I see.
The HR function actually serves both management and the employee, depending upon what the matter is that they're doing. So, for example, if it's writing a job description, that's the function of a management employee. But if it's explaining benefits, that's really a function that's geared to serve the employee. So it's perfectly understandable that you see both of those kinds of activities involved in human resources, absolutely.
But, writing a job description is kind of where the HR person kind of understands the organization.
Yes.
And knows the needs of the organization, right?
It's a combination of two. There's standard duties that you would assume go with a certain type of job. And then in addition to that, you would have input from people like yourself, maybe other staff personnel, to make sure that whatever the local flavor is, if you will, that needs to be included with it is. So just for sake of talking, we're also going to be coming forward with a job description for the tax collector. I think the last time we tried to do it as a city, we were looking for somebody part-time. We had kind of scaled back some of the duties and responsibilities. Now we're looking to go, since we had no one apply for that, we're looking to go back to the full-time and we're going to be reconstituting the duties and responsibilities there, and they're going to grow. And then there needs to be a discussion with the finance department as to the interaction there and the responsibilities. Potentially with the treasurer, because there's another, at least currently, there's another process that the treasurer gets involved with. And maybe that doesn't even belong with the treasurer. I'm of the opinion.
Finance department. Yeah, no, I understand. It would be great to hear all of this during the regular board meeting, because we've been asking, what's your plan for the whole city and stuff. That's a great conversation for the full board. What your plans are, because we were, as a full board, we were asking who's in what position and what positions you want to have and your philosophy on why you need the positions. That's great for the full board.
Yeah. And to do that, I wanted to make sure that we had funding in place before we got ahead of ourselves.
Well, we have to have,
you need both. Yes, you need both. In order to get the funding, we had to get through the budget process. If the funding's there and we don't spend it, no harm, no foul. It comes back to the city as unexpended expense back to the general fund. If we create an ordinance and then don't fund it or create a job description and don't fund it, that's a lot harder to get fixed, so to speak. So that's why I waited, Anita. There's no intent to be or anything like that.
Yeah, no, but I'd like to continue that conversation in the full board, definitely.
Be happy to do that.
The, Rob, do you have any comments on the human resources director's description as written?
No, I thought your question was fair, and Walt's response was adequate. So yeah, I'd like to obviously forward this to the full board for their consumption.
Yeah, I just had a few more or less cleaning up words because, you know, it sounds like a lot of these actions are unilateral just by the human resource director, where the human resource director really works for the mayor or the chief of staff. So, you know, I like to change words like manages, approves, you know, directs, like more in line with on the recommendation of the mayor or the chief of staff. So there's some cleaning up in here. I did write like the approves, denies, and monitors all leaves, including FMLA, workman's comp, maternity, and disability approved. I don't think that person should do the approving. I mean, these are little things that I'm having issues with when I'm looking at this human resource director description as written. So, and then I had another one. It directs and administers the city's labor relations activities, union contracts, negotiations, compliance, grievance processes, works with a labor attorney. So we have a labor attorney. You know, I know. So,
you know, it's by and large, if you want to make that kind of a change, that's fine. But I can tell you now that myself and the mayor or any chief of staff really is going to look to take the expertise of the human resource person and adhere to it. It's kind of like an attorney in some sense, that if you hire an attorney and you pay him good money and he tells you to do something and you ignore him, it's probably not a good course of action to take. I have no problem with it, but it's basically going to just add another step to the process. I don't think it's going to affect the process. And with the other one that you asked about, the human resource person has been, we've had a number of significant activity when it comes to union grievances. And the human resource person is the one who is kind of like the go-between, the information gatherer. And she works with the labor attorney to provide her with all of the information that needs to be gathered for the labor attorney to then guide and direct the process from that point. So I don't know what language would best fit that, but that's exactly what takes place.
And it has to go, I mean, I'm sure if it gets to that point, it goes to the executive office first, and then it goes to, you know, it has to be directed from the executive office to the HR person to work with the labor attorney. It's just like it's written, you know, just circumvents, I think, protocol. And that's, I just want, that's yep. The idea when I'm reading it, what I feel.
Sure. We can take a look at that. The right yeah. Now, the grievance process is level one goes to the department head or the person overseeing the activities. So in some cases, the grievance has come to me. In some cases, it's gone to, like for Public Works, it goes to Mr. Armino. They make the decision right at that level. Then, if the union appeals it, it then goes to a second level, which is with the mayor. And then the mayor is the one who sits and makes the evaluation. And then if he denies it, they have a right to appeal to an arbiter. So the mayor is definitely involved, and the chief of staff is also involved too. But yeah, we can look at it and see what kind of language. Do you want to take some time to do that now, or do you want to talk offline? How would you like to handle it?
Yeah, I think I'd have to go through it because and rewrite it and re-look at this again.
Okay.
Now, is the position posted for date, you know, times and dates and how often they are responsible to work? Are you looking for full-time, part-time?
It would be a part-time position right now. As we explained at the full board meeting, when we asked for the temporary approval, She works full-time in the city of Shelton right now. And she has become a temporary employee as of the last action of the alderman. Everybody who works with her loves her. We find her very informative. Obviously, she must be if she's the full-time HR in Shelton. Shelton works 4 days a week. That's why she's available to us on Mondays. And so right now, we would be looking to hire her as a part-time employee. There is more than enough work. I can just tell you from watching this over the last 5 months, there is more than enough work for a full-time employee here. But the city, the cost for that is going to be $85,000 to $90,000. And we felt for now we needed to spend our money other places. But that's certainly a discussion that we would like to have maybe moving into the next fiscal year.
Well, what is the salary recommendation for the part-time position?
She makes $60 an hour for 8 hours a day, which is $480 a week times 52. So I think we budgeted $10,000 in the budget was for the initial stipend that she would already be receiving under the previous arrangement, which was put in place before we went before the alderman and before we understood the situation that she was in. I think the total for her is probably somewhere around $20,000,
$25,000. And that was budgeted for?
$10,000 was budgeted for, and there is another $15,000 in the special working balance if it's approved for her to go. That's what I said before about, you know, making sure that the money is there before we ask for permission to hire her.
There's so that's one day a week.
Yes.
Does she have a lunch, an hour lunch?
No, she typically does not take lunch. She's normally here from 8:30 to 5 every day without lunch. Well, she actually probably gives us an extra half an hour a day, but she doesn't charge us for it.
Yeah, because I know we were short in the budget for last time.
Yes, and we just had that changed yesterday or Tuesday.
Right. Well, you asked for more money. I listened to that meeting. Yes. Yeah. All right. So this is, you're talking like one specific person, but I'm kind of looking at the responsibilities and, you know, and of what we would love to have as a human resource director.
Right. That's not written only for a part-time employee. That is, that job description would be just fine for a full-time employee too.
Right. And a lot of that stuff, I mean, I've been in the position. Mayor does a lot of what this position is now doing. So the mayor will, you know, is very involved in their employees, and you as chief of staff, you know, can do some of these things too. So we would love to have a person do all this and get paid for it, but we already have people in place that are able to do that a little bit now.
A little bit of it, but we're not experts in human resource law or process, that's for sure. And the other thing that she's doing is she's taking all of the benefits work out of the finance department, which again was something that MFAC wanted to see happen. Because right now, before she was brought on board, they were doing all of the finance, plus all of the pension, plus all of the benefits, plus all of the hiring. They had a ton of work.
They're all did some work too. I mean, you know, that it's a team effort. And, you know, when the chief of staff usually helps out, it's a team effort. I mean, we would love to have someone dedicated totally, you know.
$25,000 for 1 day a week seems a bit rough.
Yeah, it's expensive, Rob. I don't disagree with you there, but you're bringing in somebody who has a certain excellent skill, and you're bringing them in on a contract basis until you pay through the nose. I mean, if you want to try to hire somebody to come in on a part-time basis, I'm not sure you're going to get it a lot cheaper, but we could take a look at that if that's the desire. you're going to have a hard time finding somebody part-time unless they're like this particular situation where they only work 4 days a week.
Yeah, so we're glad that she's here. We are. We're glad to hear her here for 1 day a week. That's awesome.
So Anita, if you'd like, you know, we can sit down and go over the language there and you know, redraft it and then bring it back to committee for next month.
Okay, sounds like a good plan. Rob, any other questions?
No.
All right, so we'll just table this till next meeting.
Yeah. You actually want a motion to postpone to the next meeting.
Okay, make a motion. I make a motion to postpone to next meeting. Second?
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
All right. Aye. Okay, right, we'll move on to, is Dennis here yet?
He was.
Yes. I'm on the phone. Can you hear me?
Oh, hi, Dennis. Hello? Yes. I am okay. Here. Yes, I hear you. So I don't know what, Rob, you want to go back to number 8?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. All right, Dennis. So we have number 8, Wittick Park and Bradley School, Amendola Park Fields Rental Policy. Looking through this is kind of the rental policy for basically a standard one, right, Rob?
Correct, yeah. Yeah. Go ahead, go
with that.
No, I was just gonna ask if these are the current fees that you're charging now, that because I know some soccer teams use both facilities, if this is the going rate that you're actually collecting at the moment.
Okay. So I'll tell you what we're collecting, and then I don't have that stuff in front of me. Did not really know about this meeting. I apologize for that. So we have 3 adult teams playing at Wittick Park, and we have no one renting Bradley School. The 3 adult soccer teams are paying today $100 per game. What do you guys have for that? I don't have this information with me. I'm on the phone, and Mark called me.
Huh? Right. Is that the Sunday league?
Yes, it's Sunday only. There's 2 men's teams and one woman team, and they're giving us $100 every time they play a game. Now, if you adopt a new fee schedule, then that's what they get. And I'm sorry, I don't know those numbers off the top of my head, but if you can tell me, we can comment on them.
Rob, correct me. I mean, is that what the rate is?
The fee, it says the fee schedule is $100 a game for group 3 and $200 for group 4. Underneath, it also says that adult soccer teams playing in the State of Connecticut Soccer League are to pay $50 for each home game, and these are played on Sunday mornings. So you're saying they're paying $100?
They're paying $100. That the 50 is last year and previous. So it's $100 now. But if you adopted, I'd have to take a look at who's who on these teams, which I haven't vetted these teams, and see who's who could be a category 4. But honestly, if they are category 4, we won't have them, to be honest with you, because I speak with these people and I know, how they feel about what they pay, and they're okay with it. But if we were to double it, they'd be gone.
I think category 4 is for profit.
I don't have that either. So I'm sorry again. Thank you for saying that. So we don't have one then.
Good. Okay.
So we're getting 100 now.
Are you saying this is a nonprofit group? Because group 3 is nonprofit. You're saying this is a nonprofit group?
Absolutely. They're three. They're adult teams. They're not for profit. No. They're not.
Okay. Rob, any other questions?
I'm going to tell you a little bit about the teams. They play in a state league. They pay decent money to be in that league. They pay like $150 a game for refs. So they're paying probably, if we're getting 100, but they're probably paying them like $400 a game. Because the state gets a nice piece of money to organize this league for these people. I don't know exactly what it is, but I just hear comments from them.
Yeah.
When I went from 50 to 100, they talk about what else they do. You know what I'm saying? Financially. So,
sure.
Yeah, we have three teams, category three.
Okay. So I think there's no conflict there. So I think right now, as written, this is working. Would you say that, Dennis?
Well, it sounds, again, I'm sorry for not having it, but I know when we did it, it was a little while ago, mm-hmm. that's what we thought was best. And it's just a matter of this getting approved for permanence, right? Because we are not there yet, but sounds like, we're getting there.
How about the use of facilities? There's no porta potties at Bradley School. Are there any up? I haven't been up at Whittick Park recently. How is that?
Porta potty. We have porta potty at Whittick Park, and we don't have a renter at Bradley.
Okay.
And I just made a bunch of transfers this week to get myself through this budget season. If Walter's there, maybe he could tell me that those monies went into the other accounts so
they
I can start spending it.
Today,
well,
Dennis,
we don't have a porta party, huh?
They were posted today for you.
Thank you. Thank you. So I have more money. I don't have a porta potty at Bradley. Right now at Bradley, what's going on as of today at Bradley is firemen on Monday night. That's it. Today.
Mm-hmm.
That's typically just for softball games are typically about an hour, maybe an hour and a half.
Well, they don't come to pay it in until June 6th, so they're probably paying a doubleheader.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
At Bradley.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a requirement, like if certain hours and you need a porta potty, if there is not a certain hour amount of hours? I didn't see that.
There's no requirement
okay.
at all. I grew up on those fields. We never had anywhere to go. I mean, you come for an hour and a half usually. So, you should be ready to play ball and, hit the
and
road
run
when
home.
You're done.
Right. Yeah. Correct.
Well, I mean, it's a nice thing to have, I guess. Everywhere, but they're not cheap. They're $1.50 a month. They went up like everything. There isn't one yet right now at this point at Bradley. We're having a summer program, but we have access to the school. If we need a porta potty as well, we'll get it. But that's a month away. Yeah. So
school's going to be open for the summer program. Yeah, that's fine. The school's going to be open for your summer program. It's more or less if the Bradley field is rented, which you're saying is not rented in the foreseeable future, right? So do
yeah,
we need a porta potty?
No, I mean, there isn't one there. I mean, listen, if it picks up there, we'll do what we have to do. If I need a porta potty up there, I'd like to wait for July 1 with the new money. But if I have to, I will. But we're not there today.
Okay. Rob, any questions?
Yeah, just one last thing. Where did Dennis, did you submit this um,
the use form, the request for facility use form, along with the fee schedule?
I'm just curious. Andy Cota had a lot to do with it. To be honest with you, I know that we sat down as a group and banged it out. So I'm going to say yes, but you know what? That's not that fresh. Okay, that's got to be like 6 months old.
Okay. So, yeah. The reason my recollection. The reason I ask is because in the paragraphs above, it indicates there's groups 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. And then there's the matrix below that only has the top four groups. So I'm trying to compare the two to the matrix below it. And it looks like group 1, 2, and 3, looks like they're supposed to be zero, but group 3 has $100 in here. And maybe group 4 would be $100 and group 5 would be $200. I just wanted clarification on that before is this something you want to take another look at? If we postpone this to next month, and did you want to take a look at this?
Sure. No harm. I think with the postponement, we're not. You know, it's no harm. So I mean, that's okay. I'm curious with the group five. I don't know if that was something that maybe was a spillover from Payton, because I know Payton went to started at 4 and went to 5. So yeah, I'd have to look at it. To comment further and more accurately.
Okay.
Okay. We'll give you the time. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, there's nobody there. And listen, we'll, anybody that comes and at request to rent the field obviously has, a serious need. So, I mean, we will, we'll do the right thing before we, sign a contract, which we don't do, but that's just a way of saying it. We would ask for these fees irregardless if it's, authenticated tonight. You know what I'm saying? This is what we would pursue anyway, based on, why we gave those numbers to you.
Okay. All right. So we'll just resolve that number 5 and where that is from or going, or if we need it in this grouping or not. Rob, anything else?
No, that's it for me.
All right, Dennis. I mean, you could even just us too. I mean, if you want us to keep it on there as 5 or not, you just update us.
Thank you. Thank you. We'll have an answer for you.
And Dennis, you'll be back. You'll come back to this meeting next month?
Sure. Absolutely. Great.
Thank you.
All right. Because you're not going to, sorry. Yeah. All right. I got it. I'm all set.
Yeah. I just want to let you know it's the 4th. It's the 4th Thursday, just to let you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. 4th Thursday. Let me write that down. Thank you. Sorry about not being up to snuff with everything for this
Don't
one.
Worry. Thank you.
Okay. And have a good night.
Yeah, you too. So we're going to motion to pull this to next meeting.
Second.
Okay. In favor? And we'll bring this up next. Very good. Thank you. Now we're on number 10. IT service provider proposal process. So discussion and possible recommendation of the full board of aldermen. So we have Walt again on. I did get some information today. Rob, did you receive that information?
I did. Yeah, I know Walt wanted to speak on this too. So.
All right.
I didn't get a chance to read through it extensively. I know it's only a couple of pages.
I'll go through it with you in detail because this is important and very time critical.
Okay.
And I really don't want to see it delayed because.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, I read it quickly. I just didn't have time to sit down and digest it, but go ahead.
I mean, basically it boils down to this. Our current IT provider has been performing poorly. It goes back to, I'm aware of the poor performance back to when I was city treasurer, complaints about the performance, but I've seen it firsthand now over the last 5 months. And the poor performance has resulted in a number of situations which, quite frankly, are really harming the city and being able to get their job done. We have had numerous, I believe it's at least six, full system-wide outages, which means nobody can do anything. The internet is down, and if the internet is down, you don't have any access to shared drives, which is the process that 99.9% of the employees use, because we don't back up their individual computers for cost reasons. It has taken anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes to over 2 hours to have the systems restored. We have finally, after it happened last week, I went down to the server room, saw that the server had actually been turned itself off, powered it back up and placed a call, and I didn't get a call back for 2 hours, which is totally unacceptable for a system-wide outage. And up until that time, they had not even given what's called, and I'm sorry if I use terms that are not familiar to you, that's my IT background, just stop me right in the middle and say, what the heck does that mean? Okay, so what typically happens with a major outage is that the provider provides something called an after action report. And what that does is it says the tech who comes to investigate creates a written report on what happened, why it happened, and what needs to be done to fix it. With those first six outages, they never issued a thing until finally with the seventh outage, after 2 hours, I called them more than a little upset and said, what is going on with you guys? How come you're not doing this? How come you're not doing that? And the bottom line is you have someone now who understands IT. And I don't think that they knew that they had someone who understood IT. And they've been doing a terribly poor job of servicing our account. What happens oftentimes with them, their hourly rate is very high compared to their competitors, which I suspected and I found out through the RFP process that we initiated. But they escalate. So in a typical contract with an IT MSP, what happens is if the problem isn't resolved within a certain level of agreed upon time, then they don't escalate their clause. They don't escalate their hourly rate, but they do escalate it to a senior person. When they expand past a certain rate, which I think is an hour, they're bumping it to their next tech, but then they're bumping their hourly rate by something in the neighborhood of about 50%. We have had way too many calls going to them, and that has escalated the cost of the service, which required me to have to go to the board of taxation hat in hand and ask for nearly $30,000 in transfers to accommodate this stuff. Finally, I put a stop to it and said, all calls have to come to the mayor's office, and I've been your roving IT guy fixing things that are basically either small malfunctions on a computer or operator error. So through this process, I began a process of reaching out through NBCOG because I didn't want to start from scratch. That's a very long and time consuming process because you get people who think they can serve a municipality and they're nowhere near close. They're not powered for it. They're not equipped for it. They don't have the technical skills. So I went to NBCOG and I asked them if it would be okay to reach out to the entire membership of NVCOG, and anybody who had a MSPIT, which is just a managed services provider, who they were happy with, felt was giving them good service, and was equipped, therefore, to serve another municipality, would they give me a reference for them? I got eight references from eight different communities. Then what I did was I reached out to each one of the vendors and invited them in for a meeting slash conversation to talk about what our current status was with our current provider, and then what our current layout was as far as how many computers, how many sites, things like that, how many firewalls, servers, virtual machines, all of that technical stuff. And then asked them if they would be interested in taking on the account. If they were, then we sat down and we scheduled on-site visits, which are typically either called investigations or audits. They come in, they review the equipment that you're using, they take high-level passwords to check things like firewalls, servers, response times, all of that kind of technical stuff. And at the end of that process, I said, if you're still interested, I'm going to issue you an RFP through email and outline for you what it is that you have to respond to. So the first RFP is intended to basically take what we have and bring a new provider in, and also meet increased cyber security protocols that our liability insurer is insisting that we have. Cybersecurity has become a hot button, as I'm sure you're aware. Ransomwares are all over the place. And so insurance companies now are saying, we won't issue a cyber insurance company, cyber insurance policy, unless your company can check all these boxes. So as part of the RFP, they were given the layout of what we have. They were given the network diagrams. They visited all of the locations that we serve. They were given the full package from our liability company with the guidelines that they had to meet. And when all of that was done, we gave them a week to put together their proposal, which is honestly a very unfair time frame, but we just needed to move quickly. The process as it was, because we had eight vendors, took far longer than I hoped it would take. So in your brief here, you have the analysis of those six proposals. The first proposal, I need to scroll my screen here. The first proposal, the first vendor that submitted the proposal, which I just named vendor one, I didn't want to disclose company names until we were ready to select one. Vendor one proposed a data center based approach. And what that means is all the processing comes out of the local setting, the in-house setting, and is moved to an offsite process. It's not a bad option, to be honest, but what happens with that is you then wind up having all of your processing power located somewhere else. And if that vendor doesn't perform well, now you've got to pay the cost of relocating it all back. I wasn't comfortable with making that kind of a decision with this because it was more of an apples and oranges. And if for some reason the vendor didn't perform, then we would have additional costs to relocate everything back to what's typically called an in-house approach. So I took them out of consideration because of that. Vendor number two provided the in-house approach. They met the criteria of the RFP. Their problem is that they had a couple of caveats that they wanted, which I didn't think were in the city's best interest. First of all, their price point was already higher than the vendor that I'm going to ask that I'm going to recommend and ask be contracted with. But on top of that, their proposal had fixed fees only for a certain number of hours. And then after that, they were charging an hourly rate. So if our call volume got beyond what they had already put into their package, they were going to charge us hourly. Again, that allows us to be in a position where the cost of that proposal can escalate. I wasn't happy with that. I did a little bit more investigation and found out that their hourly rate in some cases was even more than what we were currently paying. And I believe this is the one that wanted to have a three-year, they wanted a three-year contract. And in the RFP, I included the notice that we were only interested in a one-year contract. It could not auto-renew, and there had to be a 30-day termination clause. And that's the same contract that we currently have with the existing vendor. So I eliminated them from consideration. Vendor number three, again, in-house. They were the costliest of all the vendors with the proposal they submitted. During conversations with them, they divulged that they were the current MSP for the Derby Police. In checking with the chief deputy, he affirmed that they indeed were very costly. And as a result, he thought we could do better and he wouldn't recommend that we go with them. The reason he said they stuck with them is because they had developed some proprietary software for the police department, which they use, which there are really no other vendors for. And so it would be very difficult and potentially costly for them to change vendors, but he did not think it was a vendor that the city should hook its wagon to. Vendors four, five, and six all continue the current house approach. They all meet the requirements of the RFP and cybersecurity requirements of our liability insurance provider. And when the city is ready, this was part of the plan that we talked about, they will migrate us to a totally cloud-based approach for the network. They have that kind of capability. They're ready to deploy it. That would have what's called a project cost, which means you pay extra for them to come in and reconfigure the network for that. And there may be, depending upon the options that the city chooses, an uptick in the monthly charge as a result, because there may be more licensing that's involved. So vendor four, their monthly fee is $3,343 per month, which includes the help desk and all their other related services, except licensing, okay? Off-hour support is available for additional charge. As part of the RFP, we wanted to make sure that we had help desk service from 8 to 6, because the city hall opens at 8:30 and it closes at 6 on Thursdays. We didn't want to have a situation where somebody could become unproductive for the end of the day. A lot of these guys originally said that they did 8 to 5, and I told them that that wasn't acceptable. So they all, these three here, all modified their proposals to do 8 to 6. They also have an additional licensing cost, which is $1,940. That's annual. That's a one-time fee, and that is for things like Microsoft 360. You also pay license fees for some of the software that runs on your servers and to run virtual machines and like that. They will provide also a network planning, strategizing, and budgeting to maintain the current network in an up-to-date fashion. They have committed to having regular meetings with the administration to review the progress. They do monitoring on throughput, on database requirements as far as what sizes are you using, how is your stuff being backed up, do you need to expand your drive sizes, your speed of your server, all those kinds of things. They would be my number one recommended vendor. They were not only the least expensive, but they were also one of the top quality guys in the services that they provide. Vendor number five will continue the in-house approach. They meet all the requirements of the RFP and the cyber insurance. They offer all of their service based upon a single monthly charge. What they do is they charge you by user. It includes everything, licenses, help desk support, and so forth and so on. However, their package is almost twice as expensive, or actually slightly more than twice as expensive as vendor number four. The only thing that they offer better is they have 24-hour, 7 days a week help desk. But honestly, that's something that we would very rarely use. I think one time working from home in the evening, I lost the connection and couldn't get it back. And as a result, had to stop working because I wasn't calling the current vendor and paying $250 an hour for them to fix it. They also have what's called an onboarding fee. They charge 1 month's service in advance to come in and set up the network. Every vendor needs between 2 and 4 weeks. I think there was one vendor that said two, everybody else was a month to come in, begin the transition, and complete the transition. This vendor would meet all of our requirements, but because of their pricing and the onboarding fee, I wouldn't recommend them higher than number three. Vendor number six will continue the in-house approach and so forth and so on. They offered three different pricing options. The one that I evaluated was their fixed rate package, because the other two both had variable rates on some portion of the help desk. You could buy a block and then you were available to be charged hourly on whatever fell outside the block on a monthly basis. But if you didn't use your entire block, it didn't get banked and move forward. It was just way too complicated, offered way too much of a opportunity for, again, to have an escalating kind of situation with respect to billing. So I only evaluated them based upon their fixed rate cost, which was $7,179 a month, which for me, again, is just far beyond what vendor number four is charging us. And by the way, vendor number four is consistent with what I was expecting to pay. I was looking to pay somewhere in the $50,000 range. The other vendors here who come in and meet all the requirements are more in the $80,000 to $85,000 range. So based upon the proposals that were presented for consideration, the criteria used out of the RFP, and the interaction with each of the vendors, the administration is recommending vendor number four, They are Apex Technologies Incorporated. They are out of Cranston, Rhode Island. They service 24, they have been in business 24 years, and they serve 32 public sector clients, including two municipalities in Connecticut, Cheshire and Voluntown. And they have four full-time employees who reside in Connecticut and service their Connecticut clients. Any questions?
Well, you said that you talked to them about changing their hours. What was that for vendor four?
A number of vendors had initially 8 to 5 for their hours. And we wanted help desk hours that went from 8 to 6 because of the time City Hall was open. And they agreed to that. They modified their proposal to include that.
At no additional charge?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, the price that she's put in front of you is the actual price of their proposal.
You put a lot of work into it, I see. You know, having gone through the original search for a vendor, you know, I want to make sure that we follow the rules as far as the, you know, how we're going to procure, you know, we got information from everybody, but is there a process that we have to apply so that we don't get in trouble with anybody?
Yeah.
Or bidding process.
Yes. So what I'm asking is that this service be designated a professional service. And if it's a professional service, then the contract will simply be awarded by the board. You don't have to go out to bid. We did do RFPs. I just didn't do it beyond the recommended vendors that NVCOG provided. And I think I gave you guys a copy of the RFP in the material that I sent.
Yes. Madam Chair.
Yes.
This information is public information. It should be forwarded to your staff, because if it's going to be discussed in detail like this, it needs to be posted to the website. I don't understand why this is such a problem. It really does not promote transparency and conducting the public's business.
Understood. And I was going to forward it to you. It does say draft on here, so I will forward that to you definitely, Mark. I don't understand, you know, the bidding process. I think we need to ask Corporation Counsel to give his opinion on.
Yeah, you can. I've already cleared it through him. The process, I asked him about it because of the time frame. I said, does this process meet the requirements of the order?
Yeah, it's a written opinion, I think.
Yeah,
we need to
we can get that for you, sure.
Yeah, Madam Chair.
Oh, there he is.
All this information.
Madam Chair, I'm sorry. I am here. Yeah, Madam Chair, it's Section 55 of the Charter does provide for a number of
approaches to this. The board does have the opportunity to designate this as professional services. That would address this. The board could also waive the process, but I believe the designation of this as professional services would simply under the charter.
But you're getting, you're having licensing and equipment and things like that. So I don't think it's just services. I mean,
well, again, what we're dealing with is the retention of the IT professional. Unless Chief of Staff wants to, I believe that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's called a managed services provider specifically for that reason. What happens is you go to a single individual and you contract with them. They are not necessarily worried about going out and finding the prices on these things. What they do is their business as a MSP is to know the costs of what they're committing to, and then formulating a bid for that. And it's a one-time bid, a one-time cost. So the breakout on these things that they provide is really for our benefit. Now, if, for example, we choose to add a user, then we have to acquire another license. And so we have to contact them. We have to say we have a new person that we want to put on the network. And then that would change our billing. They would charge us the cost for the license. And in this case, these guys do the Microsoft licensing. It's the same as when we went through with Flagship.
Pardon?
It's the same thing that we went through with Flagship. It's the same kind of service. It's that same in-house kind of approach.
I think we had to go through a different process to get Flagship on board.
Well, again, I would refer you to Section 55 of the Charter. And it's a simple designation that the Board of Aldermen would make. And I believe
it takes care of all the bid concerns if you do it that way.
And also, Madam Chair, the other thing the Charter provides, and the Charter actually is ahead of its, other communities do this. The concept is called piggybacking.
But that, you're asking us to not just take this verbatim, you're saying to get a waiver and to change the way we do business. That's totally different than a service.
Well, no, I'm not asking you to change the way you do business. The Charter is the way you do business. Right? The Charter is your organic law, and you're following your Charter. And Section 55 of your Charter provides.
I have to go read that. Things. I have to go in front of me.
Right.
So
and the Charter provides certain ways for you to conduct your business. And it states that you can, under certain circumstances, for example, you can go out for a public bid. That's one way of doing this. So you can go out for public bid in if you want. Or you can go and take it off the state bid. You can do it that way. Or you can take it off of another public agency's bidding list, or you can designate it as professional services. So, Madam Chair, under your Charter, there's a number of different ways of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
The chief of staff is stating at his request, based upon my recommendation, my review, we believe the best approach, based on our review, based upon best practices and industry standards, IT professionals are deemed to be professional services. So we're asking the board to define this as a professional service, because my research shows this to be a professional service. And so I don't believe, as a matter of legal review, that this requires a bid, because I believe it to be a professional service.
And the other factor, which I mentioned really briefly in the brief, no pun intended, is the effect of the timing. And I apologize for it taking as long as it did. We've been involved with this now for, I think, close to 10 weeks since we started the process. But there are licenses that renew with Flagship as of July 1. If we purchase those licenses through Flagship, then we are bound to continue a business relationship with Flagship, at least as it comes to certain pieces of equipment that are utilizing those pieces of software. If that happens, I don't know if any of these vendors will withdraw their proposals, because it winds up being a he said, she said, finger pointing problem when you have certain.
Well, that's what I don't want to get into. So, well, right. We've got this document. It has to go be put out in the public. So it has to be, part of our discussion.
Yeah, we could refer this back to the full board. And you could publish the documents anytime.
Right. Yeah, I don't feel comfortable doing that right now. You know, talking about licensing, I just went off of the information that was off of the boat meeting last night. I mean, Adobe thing. I don't think everybody in the whole city hall needs Adobe licensing. I mean, that's pretty expensive.
They don't have Adobe licensing. Adobe licensing. Adobe licensing has been granted. I have nothing to do with that. Now, this was granted well before I came on staff.
I understand that, but it wasn't there. There were only people that had Adobe license when I was in. So to have $15,791 for Adobe licensing.
That's not the licensing. The licensing cost for Adobe is $16.17 a user. And we have.
Okay, so.
And we have 13 or 14 licenses. I don't remember the exact number right now. Those were all granted based upon job requirements. That's not included in the package here, by the way. The licenses were procured by the city because the current vendor failed to get them renewed and we were sitting on our hands for 3 days. I personally got a hold of Adobe and got the licenses issued in the city today.
At $15,000, is that the price?
No, I just told you, Anita. The price is $16.14 per user. Rounds out to probably $2,200.
So the $15,000 comes from where? I mean, this is the document that you provided, I think.
And what is
for the boat? Adobe annual Adobe licensing renewal
2,200.
Full Adobe license 3,228, and then the total overall is 15,000.
Right, because that includes all the items above on the sheet that I provided.
So that's a total of everything above.
Mm-hmm. Yep, all the Flagship charges that have come in.
Plus so they charge 17. Yeah, I'm just going through because it didn't make sense to me.
Yeah. Well, I can go over all those numbers with you. Those are right out of the contract that was written when Flagship came in. The contract provided for certain fees to be paid on a monthly basis for things like the server, the VM machines, things like that. That's kind of an old way of doing business, too. There isn't a single vendor that is charging us in the new proposals for that, for those things. And then the rest of it on that same request was the help desk stuff. The help desk stuff was killing us.
Right, because there was no person to be responsible for.
There was no gatekeeper. And honestly, unless you have an IT background, you're not going to have a gatekeeper anyhow. You know, for example.
Well, and I know that
Renee's computer went crazy, and I had to go down and take a look at it. And, you know, I was being asked to call Flagship, and what we wound up doing was replacing the keyboard, and it was just fine after we fixed it. So, but that would have been a billable thing. So we're doing our best to save on it, but the contract is just really not really in the city.
No, I appreciate you're in there knowing what you know and helping us save money. But, I know the Barracuda locked down a bunch of stuff. I know it's open internet now, which is not good for a system.
Open internet. There are all kinds of filters. No. There are all kinds of filters that are in place. The problem that we had with the ransomware came because we were clients of Flagship. They came in through Flagship's portal. But all of that stuff is being addressed in the new proposal. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Gallagher, who is our liability guy, was very, very specific on what they wanted to see. And either Flagship was going to have to spend some major, the city was going to have to spend some major dollars with Flagship, or the new providers coming in had to assume the responsibility. So, and that's, again, probably part of the difference in the pricing, right?
Right. And probably, you know, their recommendations weren't being followed either timely, but that's okay.
I can't speak to that. I don't know. Yeah.
I understand. And I understand and I appreciate what you're doing. But I really have to get more questions answered before I feel comfortable, you know, bringing this forward. Because I feel like I still have to review. I think the bidding process is a big thing. I know we had to do that. It's not an or situation. I think it's something that we have to look at.
No, it is an option that you have.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, it is. And if you choose to go to the bid process, then what you do is you open the whole thing back up again, and vendors can change their prices. They can go up. I'm telling you now, most of these guys asked if we were required to go through it. That's why I asked Vin. I said, are we required to go through it? Or is this, can this be classified? I'm used to it being classified as professional services. That's the way I've always been when I was in consulting. We were treated as professionals and it was considered professional services. But in a municipal, I wasn't sure whether it was or not. That's why he did the investigation and gave me the opinion. And that was the basis that I went forward with these guys. So they understood it this way. That's the way the pricing is based. If you go out and force them to use a public bidding process, I don't know where the prices will come in. And I also think you run the problem of being stuck with Flagship for another year, because the Microsoft licenses, of which we have 40, are scheduled to renew under Flagship by July 1. If we allow those to renew on the existing machines, a vendor will not take responsibility for that machine when another vendor has responsibility for maintaining the software. It just doesn't work. They do software patches remotely. That is your MSP who does it, because he holds the license. If you leave the license with Flagship, they're gonna wanna do remote posting. The other vendor isn't gonna want them installing that kind of software on their machine because of the potential of security problems. It just becomes a huge mess. And so I just—
I think the relationship, you know, has you know, gotten a little crazy. I mean, there was no gatekeeper, so that $18,000 is kind of, you know, probably not all what was needed, but that's my opinion. I don't know, Rob, do you have any questions or any comments?
No, I'm following along. You know, this does seem to be a clear professional service. I mean, I don't know how else it would be categorized. Is there more documentation, Walt, that you would have for the full board, should this go to the full board?
If the full board wanted to see the actual proposal by the vendor I'm recommending, I could certainly provide it. But it's I'm going to tell you now, it's all IT stuff. And probably the only one there who would even come close to really understanding it in depth would be Charlie.
And what, how about the cloud base? Is that, I mean, do you have a preference between all cloud base or not? Is that a recommendation from a municipality? Is that, see, I'd like to, because that's, I know the superintendent did cloud base. I mean, yeah. And I don't know that works in other municipalities. I'd like to find out more information on that.
Yeah. Well, we can go cloud base with any of the recommended vendors that I proposed to you. But this one, obviously, because of the service and the price, was the cheapest. Now, cloud-based is something that takes and adds some security, and we can do that with all the vendors, even the one that we're doing here. But we wouldn't do it right away, because we want to get in and get the network up and running with them, work out any kinks that need to be worked out, And for example, if a firewall were needed to be replaced or something like that, that would have a higher priority. But there is a benefit to being cloud-based. We are looking at potentially replacing the financial system. That's a hot button for MFAT. And one of the considerations there is we are looking for a system that can be used on the cloud as well. And what that does is it allows you to require less of your data being stored locally and more of it on a remote server. It's kind of a halfway step, if you will, between a full data center approach and a full in-house approach. With a full in-house approach, everything sits on your own server. And our server is down in the basement, and I think there's close to four gig or 4 terabytes, I don't remember, of data on the server. And so as you start to migrate to the cloud, you're putting that data on another piece of equipment that is not physically located. And so one of the benefits of that is it does increase your security, right? Because if they get into your local network, now they've got to get back out to the cloud to get your data. So, and it's a good thing to do, I believe. I just want to make sure we don't make that move until we have an idea of what we're going to be doing as far as any kind of new financial software.
Right. No, I understand. We're in flux here. We're like a cocoon, and there's so many moving parts that we don't, you know, it's hard. So, I mean, I don't see a problem, you know, going out to bid just to see where we end up.
Yeah, but I just want you to understand, if you're doing it just to see where you end up, there's consequences to that.
Well, you're saying there are, but...
Well, either you believe what I'm telling you or you don't. I can show you the bill that just came from Flagship. The bill says you need to renew by July 1. I called them up and I said, if we don't renew, what happens? Your license is void. Okay. If I do renew and I change IT providers, what happens? Well, we still hold the license for that software on that machine. And that's a deadlock right there. There isn't a vendor in the world who's going to touch that machine. You're now stuck with Flagship for the next 12 months. And I don't want to be stuck with Flagship. I think Flagship is a very poor performer. And I've been there five months, and I've interacted with them personally. And I can tell you, because of the poor performance from Flagship, they fired our account manager. They know how serious it is. And I've already told them I will not renew with them.
But they're trying to improve their side, because I believe there were many recommendations, and if the city didn't follow, then that's not... Were they able to give a price to Flagship? I mean...
No, I'm not interested in keeping them. Not at all. If you bring them in, somebody else is going to oversee your IT. I won't do it. They're terrible. That's my professional recommendation. And if anybody else has more experience, they can make the recommendation and they can take the IT.
Well, and Walt, there's a lot of upgrades that we need to make in this city hall too. So
I understand, Anita, but that's based on performance of the network. That's based upon keeping
and your by putting it out to bid, you might have a wider net. I mean, you really don't know. You're saying that you do, but you really don't know, because you might have a wider net because of you're putting it out to bid, you know?
Like I said, you went through it and you got people that were recommended by other municipalities. You went and vetted the sources by doing that, okay? You open it up to anybody, and anybody can come in and do a good horse and pony show, but what do they have for experience? These guys all have recommendations that are backing them up. They're highly, highly vetted. I would ask for the motion, and if you want to have a fuller discussion or you need more information, I'd be happy to provide it. But we need to act on this in June so that we can be ready to move when July 1 comes, and we can have the licenses in place. We can have the new vendor in place.
Anita, rather than you and I, making a decision, I think it might be feasible to bring this to the full board and have a 9-member discussion rather than 2.
Yeah, I don't feel comfortable. I still need more information. I don't.
Well, can you provide the information that Anita's looking for before our June meeting?
Tell me what it is.
We have a discussion. Yeah. So let's have a discussion, and we'll leave it here, and so I make a motion to table. Do I hear a second? Okay, no action. We stay here, and we'll I have a conversation with you. We're going to publicly put this out, unless we go on the bid. I don't know if that's going to be bad if this goes out. I don't know, but it has to be put out to the public.
Yeah, I don't understand the guidelines for that kind of stuff. To be honest, it's different from when I was involved previously, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there's a big difference between municipality and private, I'm sure.
Oh, no, no. I'm talking about even what I sat on the various boards and stuff. Things were passed out at the board meetings to members of the board. There was certainly no notification before the meeting, if you will. Now, maybe the laws have changed. Maybe there's different requirements. I don't know. So I can brush up on that. I'll talk to the Corporation Council about it. But there's no intent to hide anything. You can publish whatever you want.
No, there is. It's just that,
Anita, how quickly can you get to Walt your request for what you want to see? And Walt, how quickly can you turn that around so maybe we can have a special subcommittee meeting before our next full board meeting just to get this?
Right, and that's we'll work on that.
Yeah, that's fine. I have no problem providing whatever information she's needed.
Okay.
So Rob, based upon that, you're okay with moving ahead with this?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, yep. So Anita, we're going to be meeting on 2 things.
Go ahead, what?
I said we'll be meeting on 2 things.
Yes, we will.
Yes, this is the
number 8th. 11. Number 11.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Thank you.
Unbelievable. They're unbelievable. You know that, Liz?
Good night, ladies. Good night, gentlemen.
The time is 7:50 p.m. The meeting is adjourned.